This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Deacon Mark Smith and is entitled, I've Got a Home, Glory Land.
So our sermon is not, what child is this? As it says in your bulletin. I hope. Yeah. We got the right one. I've got a home in Glory Land. At this time of year, we stop and tend to think and dwell on the past year and things that have happened in the past and look forward to the new year and what is waiting for us. And I know I have a tendency to think, what lies ahead is, I'm moving into that little house in Pennsylvania and Ida's there with me and she's shaking her head, no. But what I want us to think about this morning is something more important than that anyway. We'll think about heaven and what that is to us and what it should mean to us. We don't need to stand to read our scripture lesson this morning. It's quite short. It's Psalm 87, verse 3. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. So the Bible declares that the city of God, heaven, is a glorious place. Everyone wants to go there. It's wonderful to know that when life is over, we have an eternal and glorious home to go to, where we'll live forever with God and we'll rest from our labors. Many messages have been preached on heaven, and many saints have been comforted by thoughts of that fair land. I hope this message will prove to be a blessing also. We need to take a pause to meditate, a clue to lift up our voice. In other words, it is a place to shout as we think on the things of God and consider our future home. Not everyone believes in heaven. Dr. Alfred Whitehead, an English mathematician philosopher, says, as for Christian theology, can you imagine anything more appallingly idiotic than the Christian idea of heaven? Dr. Whitehead says that you and I are idiots because we believe in a place called heaven. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be a heaven-bound idiot than a hell-bound fool. I want you to pause and rest, and then meditate on the glories of heaven. I want to speak to you on this thought, I've got a home in Glory Land. It's glorious in its beauty, in its stately appearance. Revelation chapter 21, verses 10 through 27, and Revelation 22, 1 through 6. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me a great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending from the heaven of God, having the glory of God, and her light was like that shone unto many precious, even like jasper and jasper stone, as clear crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and on the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the cast, 3 gates. On the north side, 3 gates. I'm sorry, on the east, 3 gates. On the north side, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and from them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked to me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, the length as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. It's 1,520 miles in a cube. That's 3.4 billion square miles. And he measured the wall thereof in 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, according, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall, it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoldon, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every servile gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was of pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth shall do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no light there, no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of nations into it. And there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, nor maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So it sounds like a pretty impressive place. I have no idea, can't conceive of what it's going to really look like. But we're told that things of great value in this world will be commonplace in that world. And we're told of the immensity of the size of it. I mean, it's the land mass will, in just in square miles, will consume the distance between the western coast of Pennsylvania and the western coast of California, and from Canada down to Mexico. And then it is equally as tall. It's a huge place. There's plenty of room for everyone, and some of the newer Bibles say that I have a room in heaven. Obviously, the King James is probably correct in saying that you'll have a mansion in heaven, because there's going to be a lot of space up there. It talks about its sinless atmosphere in Revelation 21:27. No sin, temptation, or fear. Revelation 22:1-6. And he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there is the tree of life, which bear 12 manner of fruits, and yielded up their fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were used for healing all of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they will need no candle, neither light from the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of his holy prophets sent an angel to show unto me his servants the things which must shortly be done. See, the Lord Jesus is being the central picture here. In his Shekinah glory, he is the light of heaven. We see the river of the waters of life flowing from him. And next to the river, we see the tree of life on either side to feed his congregation. It's glorious in its occupants. The servants of God will be there in Revelation 21, 3 and 4. We shall see God. The sovereign God will be there. In Revelation 21, 3 and 4, and I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. The Son of God will be there, and Jesus himself said in John 14, 1, 2, 3, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I and my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may also be. The Spirit of God will be there, never seen, but ever working. If you look back in Genesis, you see the Spirit of God working, going over the waters of the earth. It is the Spirit of God who beautified the earth. It's the Spirit of God who created the mountains, the flowers, the trees. It's God's Spirit that was in all of that. The saved of God will be there in Hebrews 12, verses 22 and 23. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to all of the saints of ye just men made perfect. Those who have been redeemed will walk in heaven's streets. It's glorious in its endurance. Heaven will last forever, in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So our heavenly home will not pass away. In this life, everything passes away. If you look back on, you know, the old farms, the old farmhouses, I mean, everything passes away that man builds. If you look back on, you know, the mountains and things that were down, like in West Virginia, Virginia, you know, strip miners took them all away. You know, everything passes away. God says in the last time, this very earth will be burned up. It will pass away and will be rebuilt. Heaven is God's dwelling and will endure as long as God does. Revelations 22, 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Right now we live under a curse. God cursed the universe. All the chaos that rules in this world and indeed in the universe is a result of that curse. Here we're being told the curse will be taken away. There will no longer be a curse. Sorry. Curse was our inheritance from our parents, Adam and Eve. It's glorious in its message. There are many messages being proclaimed today, but not all of them are good messages. But heaven's message is a message of love, and one that is needed by all men, and one that is good for all men. We see a king departs from heaven in Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, and John 1:1. in Matthew chapter 1 through 21, chapter 1, 21 through 23. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And we have just come through the Christmas season. We've heard that story and watched it played out before us. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus, although born in a point in time in history, pre-existed history. Jesus was not created to come here on earth. Jesus is the second member of the Godhead. A king dies in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 3 and 4, and John 19, 30. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and how he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. And John 19, verse 30, When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And we will see this in Easter. A king defeats death in Matthew 28, 1 through 6. In the end of the Sabbath, as it had begun to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear ye not. For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord laid. A king describes the way home. You see in John 3:16, 6:47, and 5:24. In Acts 16:1, Romans 10:9. We see it in many places. John 6:47, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he believeth on me hath everlasting life. In 5:24, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death unto life. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. In Acts 16:31, And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. In Romans 10:9, If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that Christ hath raised him, that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And in Romans 10:13, For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we see that heaven is a glorious place, and that we have a glorious Savior. And our Savior stands at the door and knocks. And those who open, and those who let them into their heart, and those who receive him shall indeed be going to this place. This place that we call heaven, which is far more glorious, I think, than anyone can imagine. But those who do not, don't go to heaven. They don't go to a place of eternal rest where you can set aside your labors. Instead, they go to a place called hell. A place where the fire burns and the worm never dies. They go there to suffer. I ask now if any of you who have not received Christ, or if there's anybody in the radio audience who has not received Christ, please approach someone, ask them here in this church, in any Bible-believing church, and that they may help you to understand and to believe. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the glorious blessing that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the plan of salvation that you chose to redeem a fallen and sinful world full of sinful people. And Father, you have chosen your people and determined to bring them out of the sinful natures. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit who indwells our hearts and our lives and who guides us and who helps us to avoid the pitfalls of life. Most of all, Father, we thank you for your Son who died on a cross to make this all possible. We ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.